good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jade Marie Schaefer.
And good morning, I'm Kim Hantz.
And this is the girls' show today.
Yay.
Yay, this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour, where we talk about trusts and wills and Medicaid and home care. It is a call-in show. You can call in with questions at 518-476-5900. And thank you, John, for the beautiful weather this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's nice, I'll take credit for it, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's gonna be
I think
nice
we can officially
too.
Call this, like, what, the Indian summer, right? Because it is officially fall.
Yeah, I guess
fall.
So. Yeah.
We
have
it is.
We have an 80-degree weather.
First day of October is Wednesday. That's when we feel fall.
Okay.
So it'll be in the 60s during the day and 40s, upper 30s at night.
Okay.
So this is my favorite time of year, but it also makes me
sense.
Sad.
Yeah, because
I know it's looming.
I know what you mean.
I know our clients who are snowbirds are slowly starting to prepare to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a couple of conversations with folks about
heading south.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have to get their stuff done before they go down. So we've had a few calls about that already.
Yeah. So that's an interesting question because a lot of people do ask. It's funny. I've been teaching a couple of classes for Life Path and their Advanced Mastery or Aging Mastery program and on Advanced Directives. Mm-hmm. And a couple of questions have actually come up for that folks say, well, if I do my stuff in New York and I go spend time with my kids somewhere else, do I need to do things in a different state as well because I'm spending time there?
So it kind of depends on how long you're going to be there. I mean, well, first of all, I'll say your New York documents are valid in every other state.
Okay.
So they're going to be accepted in the other state. But a lot of our clients who are spending maybe 6 months and 6 months, very long time there, I advise them to do two sets of documents.
Okay.
Yeah, one for here and one for whatever state they're going to be in. Just because the banks and the doctors, all the institutions are going to be more used to their own forms.
Gotcha.
And it's just going to be easier and quicker to have that state's forms.
Right.
You know, rather than having it like you bring in a power of attorney and they may not take it. It may have to go up to their legal department for
sure.
Review.
Okay.
Yeah.
It always sparks good conversation. And
it does.
I like when
That's
people start
question.
Thinking about those things and, you know, what they need to do in order to be a little proactive. And one of the other things that we were talking about, because particularly when it comes to advanced directives and making sure everything's done properly, right? Mm-hmm. And then having those conversations with loved ones about what you want and making sure that whoever you choose is the person that's going to be able to kind of follow through. But we were talking about the different, you know, we talk about forms that not everybody does, right? Like the disposition of remains form and the conversation that strikes. And people are like, well, what's that? And why should I do that? And I said, because literally, you know, all joking aside, you don't want somebody fighting over your dead body, right? Like
literally, right? About what to do with it.
Right. And there have been circumstances where we've had family members that definitely don't agree with what the individual wanted to do, whether it was cremation or donate their body to science, you know, so making sure that...
I had a sad situation where the family didn't even want to be at the services together.
Oh.
It was a second marriage and the spouse and the children from the first marriage. The children from the first marriage did an obituary that did not even mention the second spouse.
Oh, that's terrible.
And did not.
I knew somebody like that, too.
It's very odd.
And when I went to the funeral, it's like, what? Who? Where?
Yeah.
You're over here and they're over here. They're not coming. And it is odd. Yeah.
It is. It's really terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe you can't eliminate all of that discomfort, but you could at least make sure what you want is going to happen.
Well, right.
Like your services, it's not going to be, you know, one or the other picking it. Right. It'll be what you want.
And I think it's interesting because, you know, when we talk about estate planning, right, people think it's just, I have to be rich to take care of an estate. Right. And so I think it's sort of misleading when we talk about that. And a lot of times when we're out in the community kind of talking about the different kinds of things that we do, but how deep we get in the weeds with folks in those conversations. And that's, you know, sort of the one of the things that I really do with families too, just from the social work aspect, is really kind of digging deep to kind of figure out and help families understand, right, what the limitations are sometimes, and then trying to figure out the best plan forward so that we can, you know, make a plan according to their wishes or what That's makes right. sense. And sometimes we can't always 100% fill that wish bucket. But we try to make the best of the scenario that we can in the circumstance.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to please everyone sometimes, right? But I think what I love about what you do, Kim, is you go in there and you talk to our client, right? Mom or dad, and you're really trying to get to what they want.
Right.
And helping everyone else follow their wishes so that, you know, they're the main one, right? We're trying to take care of them, so.
Right. Well, and it's, right, because everybody has an opinion.
Everyone has an opinion.
And, you know, a lot of, and I mean, I would say in most cases, you know, kids are just trying to act in the best interest or spouse or, you know, whoever, family, you know, whoever's in charge. And a lot of times what we have to remind family, you know, sort of the peripheral family members, right, is those two people or that person, that aging person, that's the one we're focused on. And that's the one who's in charge.
That's right. Right.
Unless they're at a point where obviously some diagnosis take, you know, but most people that we work with have the capability, you know, have the competency
to still kind of voice what they want.
Right. So it's a lot of times it's just sitting there and really listening and kind of talking about what, how they see the world, and then helping families make a decision from there. What resources are available, number one, that we can tap into, but then what sort of makes sense from a long-term perspective, because we've seen so much and helped families through so many issues that a lot of times we can see, not that we have a crystal ball, but we can kind of see what's coming down the road. And
we definitely can anticipate some of the problems that will come up and just point them out and see, okay, this is could happen. How should we plan for that? And, I think I've had a couple of families this week where it ended up where their parents are living with a child. And I did want to ask you some, delve into that a little bit more about the benefits and the problems of, you know, the parent living, you know, doing the caregiving, living with a caregiving child.
Right.
But before we get to that, I do want to come back to some events that we have coming up.
Yeah, we have a lot going on.
Yeah, because this month are the Alzheimer's walks, and we participate in four of them.
We do.
Which is absolutely crazy. Right. And for those of you who don't know, the walks are, you know, a fun fundraiser and a way to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association.
Money and awareness.
And get together with other people going through the same situation.
Oh, yes, that's important too.
We actually usually say that it's like the world's largest support group because it's just, you know, it's all things, like it's joyful and it's it's also very emotional just because of the journey. And, you know, we, you know, there's a lot of recognition of different, you know, the different color flowers, right? There's the blue flower, the red or blue, yellow, purple and orange. Right. And they each, you know, symbolize something. So it's really when we do the walk ceremony, it's really amazing to see all those flowers sort of recognized and talked about.
Yeah, the ceremony is very touching because there's someone, you know, who takes care of someone with Alzheimer's, someone up there who has Alzheimer's.
Sure.
Right.
And then the hope for the future. Right.
Right, that's the white flower,
flower.
Then we have the orange flower, which is the advocate. Right. And then the caregiver flower, which is yellow. So we try to recognize everybody.
Sure.
But if you want to join us, we're going to be in Schenectady next weekend on the 4th. So I think you and I are doing the radio, and then we're like zipping over to Schenectady for the walk,
okay,
right?
So what time and where in Schenectady?
Right. So it's going to be at Rivers Casino.
Okay.
Great. And 10 a.m.
Yep. Good place to start. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Go to the walk and then go run some slot machines after.
And actually, this is my first year at Schenectady.
It's outside. Yeah. It's really beautiful. Yeah. Along the river.
You got the big parking lot there, right?
No.
You can use all of that area.
Yeah, I'm excited about
going to Schenectady
this year.
Yeah.
And then we skip a week because it's Columbus Day weekend Indigenous Peoples weekend. And then we are in Queensbury the following Saturday, which is, if you don't already know, where we just opened a brand new office.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's very nice.
And
it's very close to the walk.
Right? Yeah. So we're just around the corner, actually. So that's going to be at SUNY Adirondack.
Okay.
And again, 10 a.m.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So good. And that's a great walk, too. And usually we have amazing weather.
Yes.
Like for the middle of October up there, you can have anything.
Right. Yeah.
You know, knock on wood.
Yeah, do not jinx it. Mm-hmm.
We've had some amazing weather the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, on Sunday, we're at the Joe Bruno Stadium for the Columbia Green Walk.
Joe
Bruno Stadium
in Troy.
And a great venue. First time last year doing the walk there.
Mm-hmm.
And super fun. You get to walk around the baseball field, and then we walk out and walk around
the
campus. Yeah. And that one is at 11, I believe. That one starts a little later.
Because it's a Sunday. Give you a little more time.
Yep. And then the following weekend on Saturday, the 25th, is the Albany Walk. And that one is held at Siena College.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I think 10 a.m. for that one.
Right.
Yep. So...
Not bad.
No, that's their biggest walk.
A lot going on.
Yeah, a lot going on.
A lot going on. That's right.
And then another really fun thing that we're doing is, in our Queensbury office, we have some amazing space in there to collaborate with community partners and do some education. So right now we're running an early Alzheimer's support and education program. That's an 8-week sort of class.
Right.
For someone who's diagnosed and then their care partner. So that's been running really well. We've got 30 people joining us, which is amazing. On October 15th, which is open enrollment day for Medicare, we're doing a Medicare 101. We're doing a lunch and learn from 12 to 1:30 with Warren Washington, County's Office for Aging. And then from 5:30 to 7, we'll do like a little light fair. And then we're doing it with Kate Barkley, who is an independent Medicare consultant. So talking all things Medicare. And for people who don't know who have Medicare, this year is super important to be meeting with somebody about your Medicare benefits, because a lot of plans are leaving. A lot of plans are changing significantly. Like, there are huge changes to Medicare for 2026.
So you really need to go in, evaluate all your options, right? Mm-hmm. Your current plan may
100%
not be suitable for you anymore.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, I always encourage people to meet with an independent, you know, person that really represents a lot of Medicare plans and things like that, or a HICAP, which is through the County Office for Aging, because you really want to meet with somebody that understands, is educated, and can walk you through the process, because, you know, you don't want to just meet with one representative that you know, represents one company.
Right.
You really want to know what the options are.
Towards one plan or the other.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So super important. So open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Yeah, that's important to know, because I know when we speak about it, sometimes people just stick with the plan they have and they don't really think of changing it, right?
Yeah.
Well, right, because they're like, oh, this one's working for me, so I'll just, you know, roll over to the next year. And usually when we do, you know, education programs and seminars, like, that's one of the questions I always ask is, how many of you meet with somebody regarding your Medicare? And very few people raise their hand.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, your new homework assignment is you have to meet with somebody to kind of talk about and review.
Yeah, which is
review the plans.
When you're working, you do get a review of all the plans once a year and what to pick. You know?
Right.
So you should do that even when you're not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been lucky. I mean, mine's been pretty good.
Good. That's good.
Right. But yeah.
You should check.
You make a good point.
Right. Well, and a lot of people too, like, you know, they retire, so they have have their benefit from retirement. But what they don't understand is Medicare comes first, right? So Medicare becomes the primary payer. So even if you have good work health insurance, that's not going to be the primary. So you want to make sure whatever Medicare plan you're picking complements that retirement benefit, or it may replace it altogether and you may not have to pay that premium that you would be paying, because, you know, why are you want to pay a Medicare premium plus, you know, a health insurance plan?
Yeah, so that's right. So we'll be talking more about this and different home care situations right after the break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And second half of the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. And David, who was regularly scheduled to be on today, it was his birthday this week.
Yeah, so happy birthday, right? Wednesday.
Happy birthday. Wednesday. That's right. So I hope he's out enjoying and doing something fun with his family. Or he could be doing the runaround to sports.
Like all our parts. Or he's playing golf somewhere.
Or he could. That's true.
Yeah.
Not in the fall when you have two kids in different sports, probably.
Yeah, that's true.
Now I know, with school being back in and all that kind of stuff.
But he loves it.
Yes, he does. Yeah. And it's a beautiful day for that today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
But nice and sunny.
So, happy birthday, Dave.
That's right. Yeah. Happy birthday. So, we were talking before the break. I was saying I had a lot of meetings this week, and a lot of them I were lucky enough to have children they could live with. And, you know, in one case, the daughter moved in with the mom. In the other case, the parents are building an addition on their child's house.
Oh.
And I was thinking that's a huge, you know, investment, right? And if someone was going to do that, like, what would you talk them through about to see whether this is a really good fit? You know, that's a big undertaking.
Right. Well, it is a big undertaking. And, you know, it's looking, I mean, first and foremost, right, relationship.
Yep.
And what kind of relationship parents and children have. And sometimes it can be pretty seamless. And I also really want to know what other support is around, because if it's just one child, maybe there's multiple siblings. But if there's this one child that's taking on this responsibility, you want to make sure or understand what the other relationships are, because in a lot of those circumstances, the kids that aren't going to be actively involved, you want to make sure that they sort of understand what this primary caregiver is going to be taking on and how they're either going to share or not share and what the expectations are. So really setting realistic expectations, I think, is really important.
That's funny. You're almost clairvoyant, because when I was talking to them, the daughter who's having the parents move in with them, you know, we're talking about the caregiving agreement we're going to do, and she brought up something. She's like, I want a siblings agreement. And I had never really, like, heard it done that before. And she's like, she really wants everyone to kind of agree and sign off on what, you know, was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, she was probably more on the financial side, but you could also delve into that, like the different responsibilities.
Right. Well, and I think it's important to have those conversations, right? Because a lot of times other siblings who aren't maybe as actively involved don't understand all the nuances that are going to be happening. You know, oh, well, now Sue is just going to take care of mom and dad, and, you know, everybody's going to ride off into the sunset and those kinds of things. But, you know, at some point, the caregiving could get to be too much for mm-hmm. Sue. So we mm-hmm. need to understand, is there backup support from the siblings? And it's fine if it isn't. I mean, mm-hmm. there are a lot of circumstances where, you know, like right now I'm working with a family and the child in California is the one who's taking the lead on everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's 3,500 miles away, right? But she's doing everything because her one brother that lives very local, they're about to have their first child. So they're very consumed with that. Their other sibling who lives local has a disabled child that she's really focused on. They're there for mom and dad, but they're not, you know, they're not the everyday.
Right.
And, you know, this child in particular, you know, she's like, I'm married, but I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. I have the bandwidth to be able to take all this on.
That's good.
So when, you know, I was talking to her about the program that we were going to, the home care program, but we also explored assisted living for dad because, again, it's a lot. And so I said, you know, with the home care program, we have to have a backup. We have to make sure that if somebody doesn't show up. So I think actually through this plan, because we're talking about putting mom on Medicaid too, because mom has some pretty significant physical issue needs. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about doing a live-in for them because they live pretty remote Washington County. Mm-hmm. And while they have one caregiver that's reliant, that caregiver is only there 4 hours a day.
That's not enough if you're living alone.
Right. And so we're really talking about, you know, high needs and then also all the family dynamics. I'm like, the local siblings, they're here to pitch hit, right? But they're not here to provide substantial sort of care. So again, it's really laying out what those expectations are. And that's so cool that that one sibling was like, I want to put it in writing because I want to have the conversation, right? And then you want to make sure that everybody understands because when you have, I mean, my dad was one of five and everybody has an opinion.
Yes, I know. There's four children in this family. So yes, everyone will have an opinion. And then also, I think there's this conception that, you know, all right, you're bringing them to live with you, so you're going to do all the caregiving.
You're
going to
do everything.
But we're also talking about community Medicaid.
Right.
Because they work during the day.
Yep.
You know, they can't do it all. You know, living there has a lot of advantages. They're going to be there to oversee everything.
Sure.
But we also need to tie that in with community Medicaid.
Yeah.
So to provide additional help.
Well, right. Because it's not, you know, particularly if you're working or particularly if there are kids and, you know, kids in the house and things like that. Like there's a lot to take on. So you want to make sure that the support is there to meet the need.
Their great grandchild is there every day. The
daughter
takes care of her granddaughter every day. So
she's really got a full plate,
so now she has a grandchild and her
parents.
Which
in some ways it's going to be kind of cool, right? Because you've got multi-generational.
Oh,
and I think that's going to be really awesome, right?
They actually brought the baby with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were so happy. It's like nice to see them interact.
Right,
so
right.
I think it's a good thing that they're moving in. Yeah.
Where it's funny because I was actually having an in-depth conversation about the multi-generational thing that this past week. And we don't see a lot of that anymore. We don't see the ability to do that. But so it's nice when you can kind of start implementing that or see families that because there's hands down, the benefits sometimes really are amazing.
Yeah, they are. And then this plan, so this is, you know, shows how we can tie all kinds of things in together.
Sure.
We started out and we did a trust for them, put their house in the trust. Their plan was to live where it was, you know, an hour or two north of here, so far away from the kids who were about an hour south of here.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And then things changed. They sold the house, you know, the money's in the trust, so that's still protected. But it has not been 5 years yet.
Right.
So, you know, they would not be qualified for a nursing home. That's not where they want to go. But having the ability to move in with the child combined with community Medicaid, you know, lets us use all these different tools to keep them at home.
Right.
Right.
Well, and quite honestly, I mean, you know, when we're talking about the long-term care plan, you know, I've had two individuals actually this week that I've been talking to that we did a PRI screen because they were talking about nursing home and they're not scoring nursing home level of care. So that adds a whole nother component. And that's where I say to families, like, we really get into the weeds of things, because right. when we're talking about what's most appropriate for folks and what kind of plan we can put forward, we're looking at all that. We're not just saying somebody comes to us and say, you know, we need a nursing home. I want you right. to help me with the nursing home application. And we kind of go, okay, well, so tell me about what's going on, you know, yeah. and in a lot of these circumstances, we kind of uncover many other things and can lay out a lot better option, a lot better plan for folks to be able to either stay at home or maybe assisted living is the best option, right?
Right.
And because I say to a lot of people when I'm talking to them about how they feel about home care and so having somebody there, a lot of people are like, I don't want somebody in my home. You
yeah,
know?
It's not necessarily.
And that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. That's totally fine. And I understand that. You don't want to have somebody standing over you all the time,
right.
kind of saying what you can and can't do or you know, that conception of what happens. Well, and
especially if you have Alzheimer's, for example, mm-hmm. someone is going to be there with you all day to make sure
right.
you're okay. But then what are you doing half the day, right?
Right, right. Well, right. And so, you know, that's when we do talk about maybe assisted living or even independent living that has some supports, you know, independent living that has meals, has transportation,
right.
has social activities, because those are all really important right. components of maintaining healthy aging
right.
And so important.
And if you're social, there's the adult day programs.
Right.
You're covered by community Medicaid.
Yep.
So that's... So you really get a lot of things with community Medicaid that you can
right.
utilize. You know, it doesn't just have to be at home with a
right.
home health aide.
No, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things that we can do to, you know, try to keep people as stable and independent as possible. I mean, that's really the goal, right? Mm-hmm. Is the least restrictive environment.
That's
and,
right.
And what does that mean? And sometimes it's home. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's assisted living where you have your own apartment and they're yes. just coming in and out to help you mm-hmm. when you need it. Not all the time, right? They're not mm-hmm. there
yep.
standing over you
yeah,
the whole time.
That's right.
And there are circumstances, right, mm-hmm. where we need nursing home level mm-hmm. of care
right.
because of, you know, whether it's finances or whether it is level of care. And then, you know, the thing that I've been talking more recently about, too, is particularly as we start planning for end of life, mm-hmm. We have some really amazing options of hospice
yes.
homes yes. in our community. Mm-hmm. 'Cause a lot of times people think that they're going to have to go to a nursing home mm-hmm. for the end of life when things get really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a couple of the plans that I've been talking about lately with families is we can do the community Medicaid. We can have the hours of care in the home. And then let's talk about at the point that they're ready for hospice, do we want to provide it here at home or do we want to look at a different environment,
right?
And then it's really being able to set that plan in motion so that we're utilizing all of these services to the maximum. Because a lot of times we have people who utilize hospice they're only on hospice for 48 hours.
Yes,
right, so they're not getting
longer,
the full right. benefits mm-hmm. of being able to, and then there's palliative care. So there's so many options in really wanting to be able to put together that full comprehensive plan for people and really talk about what all the options are and to be able to help them through the whole process, I think is really amazing.
Yeah, and I think myself, as well as Dave and Phil, we all are, you know, knowledgeable about the different options, but we rely on Kim to really bring in that extra touch of all the community options. So we're not just going to say, okay, this is it, one direction, you know, we're not doing anything
sure.
else.
You well, know, a lot of times we change directions
you know,
a
lot to our planning.
There's been a lot of that actually lately where, you know, we've started off on one route and all of a sudden we're like, you know, I have to take this exit ramp now.
Things do change constantly. But
that's okay because we're here for the journey.
We're
right?
flexible, right?
And I also think that's the other important thing, too, is just, you know, wanting our clients to know that you don't just come in and do one thing. Like, we really want you here for the journey. I was doing an education program a few weeks ago, and clients of ours were there, and they were like, oh, we haven't been in a few years. And I'm like, time to schedule time. Just check in with us,
right.
you know.
We'd
so
love
we want to see you.
Yeah, we do. So give us a call. All right, enjoy our
have a great
last
weekend.
Summer weekend. Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.